Again, let me say it is good to have you in service with us tonight. Thank God. I'm going to begin reading with the very first verse. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. I will be reading some more scriptures later on, but I would like to just stop right there for now and make a statement. The life of Peter is an amazing story. Maybe some of you have read the book, The Great Fisherman, about Peter, but it is a great story, this man called Peter. Think about it, if you will. During a period of time of less than 2 months, Peter was the greatest failure in the history of the church. And in the same period of time, probably one of the greatest preachers of the church, all within 1 and 2 months' time. According to John chapter 18, on the night before Jesus was crucified, you know the story how that Jesus had been arrested and he was taken by the mob, taken into Jerusalem, and the Bible says that Peter followed afar off, and while they were crying and while they were interrogating the Lord, Peter stood outside. He stood there in the courtyard by the fire to warm himself, and while he was there, the Bible lets me to know that the Lord had already told him that, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, No, I'll die with you before I deny you. Did you know it's easy to talk? That night, rather than deny Jesus once or twice, he denied him 3 times, saying that I don't even know him, as he denied him. And yet, after being forgiven, after the time was over and he repented and went out on the porch and prayed and repented, and God restored him, and after he had been filled with the Holy Ghost, sometime later, we find out that when he preached that sermon in the Acts chapter number 2, on the day of Pentecost, one of the great sermons of the Bible, 3,000 got saved. From one that denied the Lord to preaching the gospel, 3,000 got saved. What an amazing story. Only God can do that. After Jesus' resurrection on that first evening, and you know the story well, no doubt, he appeared unto the disciples when they were in a locked room, and then with Thomas not being here there, and then the next Sunday after he was resurrected, he appeared again to the disciples, and Thomas was there. On this occasion, Jesus appeared the second time, and in tonight's scripture, we have an occasion, we have an event that took place between the second time that Jesus met with the disciples after his resurrection until the time that he was ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Somewhere between that second Sunday after the resurrection and his ascension into heaven, the Bible tells me that on this time, this occasion, Peter said, I'm going fishing. So I have 2 thoughts that I'd like to mention about this fishing trip. This is not my message, but I'd like to mention this. I've read after some writers, some commentaries, some notes of different ones. They believe that Peter should never have gone fishing. That he should be preparing for his ministry. Jesus had now forgiven him, and Jesus is has met with him and blessed him, and the Lord had let him to know that he had a real ministry for him, and he should never have gone fishing. He should have been praying. He should have been preparing himself for the ministry that God had called him for. I don't agree with that theory, but some believe that. Secondly, when Peter said, I go fishing, 6 men went with him. This is what I preached recently. I want to share it one more time. Every one of us have an effect on someone on the job, in the school, wherever we might be. Our actions, our lives, and everything, they have an effect on different ones. And so I'm saying to the parents tonight that still have children at home, be faithful to God. Your children are watching you. Grandparents, be faithful to God. Your grandchildren are watching you. Amen. Leaders in the church, teachers, whatever your position might be faithful to God. Someone is watching. We've lived long enough now when we've watched some on television that we have broken the hearts and lives of believers because people in high places that were well thought of in the ministry or whatever, and then they fell. They were not faithful to God, and they fell. And when they fell, it became difficult for so many people that had confidence in them. Whatever you do, be faithful. Be faithful to God in all things that you do. And as I mentioned recently, a parent's decision to serve God with all of your heart will surely have an impact. Doesn't mean that all of your children will serve God, but it will really have an impact. And so tonight, from the scripture reading, Jesus asked three questions. That's what I want to preach about. Three questions for the purpose of Peter being prepared for the ministry. I realize that all the questions were not directed to Peter alone, but I believe that the Lord was working something out for Peter as well as the others. And so, read with me again from the third verse, the last part of that third verse of that 21st chapter. In the last part of the third verse, Peter said, the Bible says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. That's the first question. Children, have ye any meat? Think about it. They had been fishing all night. They were tired. They were weary. I imagine their bodies were aching because of the all-night fishing expedition, and yet they fished without catching anything, and now not only are they tired, but they're disappointed. And Jesus, standing on the shore, says, have you caught any fish? Have you any meat? And the Bible lets me to know that the long night of fishing was fruitless. They had caught nothing. And then he said, cast your nets from the right side. Listen closely. If we'll do the right thing, it'll all come out good. Amen. I believe you can take that a lot of ways. That's talking to, I think it was Carl, talking about the right hand of God and Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I don't believe I've ever heard that, Carl, but Carl wanted to know, was the throne on the left side reserved for the Holy Ghost? Now, I don't know that. I don't know that at all. But I do know the right hand of God speaks of power. Dr. O.T. Smith stood right here and preached years ago, 1981, I believe it was, right here in our homecoming service, and preached about the right hand of God, the power of God, and the right hand of God. I want you to know that He has all power. I remember Bishop Simon, well, 1964. I remember Bishop Simon being at our church in Glendale, Arizona, and for a preacher's convention, a preacher's conference, and I remember preaching about the paralyzed man, and that Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. And he could have said, I can't you see that I my arm's withered up and I have palsy and I can't. But the Lord said, stretch forth your hand. And I remember Bishop Simon, when he preached that, he stretched forth that hand. When God says something, brother, it'll happen. You can believe it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And Jesus said, have you any meat? Did you catch anything? And so I want to pause. Jesus knew that they hadn't caught anything. Jesus knew the disappointment that they had. And yet He wanted them to share their feelings with Him and their needs with Him. And not leave that with us tonight. He knows everything about us. And yet He wants us to cast our burdens upon Him. He cares for you and me. He wants us to bring our petitions to Him. He knows before we ask. But He wants us, for our sake, to believe, amen, to receive from the hand of God. He knows these things. In fact, I jotted down the titles of three songs when I was preparing this, how that the Lord longs to do good things for us. I thought of the song, Tell It to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. Sometimes we tell it to everybody else before we go to Him.
Oh, thank God for the testimony, Missy, and for the testimony, Mike. When we go to God, hallelujah. When we go to God, don't you know His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear? It's bending low, amen. His eyes are not dim. The Bible said they're running to and fro across the width and the breadth of the land. He's searching out for someone that's calling out to Him. Call on the Lord, amen. Call on Him tonight and believe Him, amen. He's still God. Hallelujah. Another song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn it to the Lord. Another one, someone to care, someone to share all your troubles, all your burdens, all your cares, everything. Somebody cares for us. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? The first question that he asks, children, have you any meat? Then I'm going to read from the 6th verse through the 11th verse. And he said unto them, cast your nets, the net, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid up thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
I would like to stop there for a moment and share this. I mentioned a moment ago, I said again, when they said, we've caught nothing, we've toiled all night, our nets are empty, we've cast the nets and brought them in with nothing. We've cast the nets and brought them in until we are now in despair and disappointment. We've caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast your nets on the right side and you shall find. I believe this with all of my heart. If we will obey God and cast our nets in the right way, what I'm talking about tonight, live the kind of life God wants us to live, we will be what God would have us to be. We'll be blessed of the Lord. Cast your nets on the right side. They could have argued with the Lord. Peter could have said, Lord, you don't know a thing about fishing. I've been a fisherman all my life. I know these waters. I've made my living here. I've earned my food right here. This is where I've done all my work right here. And now you're telling me that all that we've done all night, cast the nets on the other side. But he didn't argue. They went out and cast the nets on the right side, and they caught. Yeah. Obey the Lord. Yes. He'll bless. He'll minister. He'll meet the needs in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The disciples did as the Lord directed. And as I mentioned this morning, it's always a good policy to do what God commands. Always obey the Lord. You'll be blessed in life. And when they did, not only did they catch fish, he said they caught 153. I've never caught 153. I doubt if I've caught 153 fish all my life. But I know I haven't finished the last part. He said they're all great fish. Have you ever heard a fish story? Somebody caught about 11-incher. And by the time he told this one and this one and this one, it's getting bigger. And by the time he got around the 10th person, he told him, I caught one about that long. The Bible says, isn't this amazing? In fact, when you read the Bible, there's something about it that's just amazing every time you turn the pages. Why did the Lord say 153 fish? Who counted them? Why did they count them? For what purpose? Who cares? If they caught 153 or 173, who cares? God cares. That's why. That's why he tells us the size of the New Jerusalem, being all of those cubits wide and long and high. That's why he tells us the foundations in the foundation of the New Jerusalem, the 12 gates. That's why he tells us of the 144,000 Jews that are going to be anointed during the tribulation period. That's why he tells us these things, because it's important. They called 153 so many, that they come trying to drag their nets in to where the Lord was. And when they arrived,
I find that the Bible tells me how that he says to in the 15th verse, and I'm going to read that 15th verse. So when they had dined, they went where Jesus was. And although they, Jesus said they had caught nothing, they go back out, we find that Jesus has something to feed them. Jesus has fish on the fire, and Jesus has made breakfast for them. They're tired, they're given out, and now Jesus has prepared. I thought about the men's fellowship, and for those that have done the cooking over the years, I thank God. Sometimes I don't think we think them enough. To have to come an hour early, 45 minutes early, to get everything going and take care of everything, and then we enjoy a nice meal, and I thank God for that. But I see this tonight, while they're gathered there around the fire, and God's blessing them, after they've gotten this on the rest, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? The second question. First of all, do you have any meat? Did you catch anything? The second question is, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? The first question was asked, and the Lord was asking for facts. Have you caught any fish? And now he's coming to a personal thing, and he's saying to Peter, in essence, have you put your priorities in place? Do you love me more than these? Lovest thou me? He said, more than these. Do you really love me, Peter? I've forgiven you when you denied me. I've been close to you. I've blessed you. But do you really love me? This is the third time that Jesus had been with the disciples since his resurrection. And no doubt Peter still had condemnation and guilt in his life, because I did denied the Master, the one that loved me so much. He came to save me. He was loved so much, and yet he has denied the Lord. And now the Lord is saying, do you love me, Peter, more than these? He's getting right down to the nitty-gritty. He wasn't asking a question for all directed at Peter this time. Peter, do you love me more than these? He didn't condemn Peter. We mentioned that in the Sunday school class this morning. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. He wanted Peter to be sure now that he had everything lined up, that everything just went like it ought to be. And he said, do you love me? And I'm going to fill in some, and I'm not adding to the Bible. He might have been saying, Peter, do you love me more than the sea? You've been out here years and years and years on this waters. You know the waters like the back of your hand. You've enjoyed fishing. But do you love me more than you love the sea? And there's your boat. You've made your living with that boat. Your life has been wrapped up in it. Do you love me more than you love that boat? How about your nets, Peter? How about the fish? How about all that goes with? Do you love me more than these? And maybe he was even saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love even these disciples? And sometimes we get our love affairs all tangled up. And I know sometimes for young converts it's hard to understand. But did you know we must love him supremely above everything and everyone? I preached a long time, and I'll mention it one more time. We were married a year before we got saved. I did not know really how to love my wife after a year's time until Christ came into my heart and it made all the difference in the world. Some people don't understand that. He would say, Peter, what do you really love? Who do you really love? He's not condemning him. He's not getting after him. He's wanting Peter to make his mind up. I've called you. I've got a work for you to do. But you've got to keep your priorities in line. And I'm saying this tonight, as I've already said tonight earlier, we must be faithful. We must keep our priorities in line. Whatever happens in this world, he must be number one. He must be number one. Whatever happens in life, we must keep him number one in our lives, in our hearts. would be good for us to ask ourselves questions, maybe not like Peter was asked, but does Christ have first place in my heart and in my life tonight? Do I love Him more than anything else in the world? Do I love Him more than my home and my wife and lands and possessions and all the rest? Do I love Him more than anyone else? Can I say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Oh God, I'm not that they did. Remember the heaven band came to the store building all those years ago, and when they came, they sing in that song, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I never heard it before. And I didn't go along with the theology all together then. I still don't. I'm not tangled up in Jesus. I just grabbed a hold of Him. He grabbed a hold of me. And then if that changes the song, I'm not here to tear down the song. I love the fellow, the heaven band, and they came a lot of different times, but what I'm saying tonight is, we've got to keep our priorities right. You live for the Lord a long time, like my wife and I. All these years saved. That doesn't count. That doesn't count on the records of God if we don't stay faithful now. If we don't stay with the Lord now. God, help us, I pray. He says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He's preparing Peter for the ministry and for Pentecost. And then I'm going to read verses 18 and 19 of the 21st verse. 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. He's talking to Peter about what is out there for him. And he's saying, I want you to follow me. 3 years earlier, on the shores of the Galilee, the same Galilee, Jesus had said to the disciples, or those he were calling, follow me. And Peter answered the call. Peter began to follow the Lord. He left it all behind 3 years earlier, left the nets, left the boat, and followed the Lord. And now, Jesus is saying in this last chapter of John, Peter, follow me. Do you love me more than you love these? Follow me. Follow me. And I thought, yes, that's the same way with us. I don't know about you, but the night I got saved, I made up my mind. I'd gotten saved before as a young person. And I didn't stay with God, and I went back on God. And then I got saved before I went into service. And then when I went into service sometime later, I went back on God, and I'm not proud of that at all. And my wife and I got saved, and after a year's time in a Sunday night service in Idaho, Mount Nome, Idaho, when I went to that altar tonight, I believe my wife had the same feeling in her own heart and life. I went to that altar. I was determined if the Lord would take me back, if the Lord would forgive me and save me, I promised the Lord, God, I'll serve you. I made up my mind. I was determined. I was not going to go back on God. I was not going to let Him down. I was not going to deny Him. I was not going to turn my back on Him. If He would go with me and He promised that He would, I would serve the Lord. I was determined to serve God. That's been a long time. I still have that same determination. He said, follow me. Follow me. And finally, in that last chapter, Jesus asked the third question. Notice the verses 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on the breast of his breast of supper, and said, Lord, which is it? Which is he that betrayeth thee? He's the one that asked. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, he's looking at John, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The first question, have you caught anything? Second question, directed to Peter alone. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And now he said, follow me. And finally, in this last verses of John's Gospel, Peter turns and looked at John. He said, "You've told me what I'm going to do. You've told me what I've been called to do. How about him? What have you got for him? What is your assignment for John? We've been close to you. We've been in the inner circle. We've been with you on the Mount of Transfiguration. We've been in the house when you raised the dead. We've seen you heal the sick. And we've been with you. How about him? You've told me what I'm to do. How about him?" Listen to Jesus' answer. He said, "Peter, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Whatever I have him to do, I've got something for you to do. And that's what you'll have to answer for." And I thought, wasn't Peter like so many of us? How about them? How about him? How about her? How about that one over there? What are they going to do? What have you got for them? Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised in a pretty good-sized family. And I can relate to what I'm saying right now. Daddy would give a chore to one of the boys, or Mama would have something. And if it happened to be me or whoever it was, we'd want to know, how about the others? I dried the dishes yesterday. How about him? I milked the cow last night. How about brother? What's he going to do? And Jesus said to Peter, "That's none of your business. Don't worry about it. You just follow me." And I thought tonight, in this sermon, for this church, for this time, if we'll just follow the Lord, everything will be all right. Everything will work out just fine in our lives. You can look around and see what somebody else is not doing, and you get all upset because they're not doing this and not doing that. We ought to get our eyes on him. Hallelujah. Think about it, if you will, tonight. We worry too much, think too much about what others are doing or what they're not doing. And I'm sure every one of us have been in that place, in that situation. Either they're not doing something they ought to be doing, or they're doing something the other way around, whatever it is. And we're worried about them. And it's all right to be concerned about one another and how they're living and praying with them. But I'm saying tonight, we ought to not spend so much time concerned about what God's got for that person to do. God, help me to fulfill what you've got me to do. I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to answer for what God's called me to do, and I want to be faithful to God. And so I leave it with you tonight. Everyone here, three questions. The first question to all the disciples, have you caught any meat? Do you have any meat? Have you caught any fish? Then he narrows it down to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now I ask you the question, young people, everyone. Do you love the Lord tonight more than anything in this world? Think about it. Do you love the Lord, not only young people, but everyone? Do you love the Lord more than anything else, anyone else? And finally, Jesus said, "Follow me." And when he was worried about John, he says, "Don't worry about what is that to thee?" God, and I'm preaching to myself right now. We're going to close. God, help me, as well as the church family. Help us not to be so much concerned about what others might be doing or not doing in the kingdom of God. Help me to obey you. Help me to live the way you want me to live. And I believe if you'll help me to have that attitude and that spirit, I believe I won't be so much concerned about. I don't mean that we don't love them and we want the best for them, but don't let that worry you. Keep your eyes on God. And if I say anything tonight that you can remember, please remember this. Whatever you do, stay faithful. Come to the piano, honey. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. While she's playing something softly, I've been in the church, having been raised in the church. Just those 2 or 3 years I was away from God in the service. I've been around the church and in the church and associated with the church all of my life. And I've seen some good people. I've seen some good people go astray. I've seen some good people throw up their hands in despair and walk away. I've seen some good people that have loved God and served God and been anointed by God and blessed of God and been a blessing to others. I've seen some good people mess up. I'll leave this with you tonight. Whatever you do, be faithful. It's the best testimony you can ever have. After you get saved, not this accomplishment, not that accomplishment, not that. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. He's coming. We were singing the songs. We're living in the midnight. We're singing the other songs, Come and Dine. Singing the songs tonight about the Lord's coming. Paul said in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I don't want you to worry about them. Because when the Lord comes, He's going to bring the departed spirits of the righteous dead with Him. Then He gets down to the 17th verse and He says, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know the next verse? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort your hearts right now. He's coming. He's coming. Stay faithful. I'll tell you who's going in the rapture. Those saved by the blood of the Lamb and those faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not those that used to be saved. Not those that were one time saved. Those that are saved by the blood and faithful to God. We're going, we're going, we're going. And it might be tonight. Hallelujah. Will you stand together with me?